388 consecutive days, this man has been the reigning, defending WWE champion. And last week, he got injured to the point that he needed emergency surgery. He didn't have a stunt double like The Rock. He wasn't sitting in his trailer mixing his mocha latte with his finger while someone said, okay, Ryback's gonna get you way up in the air. Wait, stunt double, and some poor schmuck goes right through the table. Your champion is not complaining. Your champion is not kvetching. Your champion is standing out here like the great champion that he is, the longest reigning champion of the past quarter century, and he's standing before you tonight. Unlike The Rock, who was too busy to come here to, I don't blame him, New Jersey. No, he just shows up when he gets a title opportunity.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
Really? I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it. And you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Thursday, December 13th, 2012, the best in wrestling talk radio, back on the air. My name is Corey Callahan, sitting in the Smack Talk studios with my partner in crime, James McDonald. James, how you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing awesome, as always, man. Excited like every week to be sitting here in the Smack Talk studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, breaking down all the latest news, views, and opinions in the week that it was in professional wrestling right here with you and...
this guy, our local insider, we welcome to the show, Corey Basso. Corey, how are you doing tonight?
Well, 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 fellas, we meet again. I'm doing fantastic. And yourselves?
Not too bad.
Always good.
Why do I have a feeling tonight's going to be a very interesting show?
I think the word explosive comes to mind.
I think you need a pair of boxing gloves or something.
I have a goal for tonight. To get through tonight, trying to be as respectful as possible, while at the same time getting my opinions across. Will I succeed?
I have a feeling the answer is going to be a no.
Let's just hope all the keys stay in the keyboard.
Now, we've been off the air for a couple weeks. We took a bit of a holiday. I went down to Vegas with my family.
And how was that?
Sick as sick could be. I was bedridden the whole time.
Oh, that's brutal.
But my dad could not lose at gambling. I swear to God, my dad would put money in a slot machine and win every single time.
Oh, I think you were telling me this. Why? Oh.
Did he play that Dirty Diana slot machine we like so much?
I told my dad to put 20 bucks in the Michael Jackson slot machine. He puts 20 bucks in, boom, wins like 300.
Oh, my God.
Like,
my
third gosh, spin. It was sick.
Jeez.
Meanwhile, my girlfriend and I are just sick as sick could be. Never left our hotel in Planet Hollywood. I mean, we did rarely, but... all in all, it was a decent trip. We made the most of it, but that's where I've been for the last week. James, what have you been up to?
Not much, man. Living the poor man, common man's life here. Getting up every day, working.
So upbeat. Hey, I'm living. This is what you're all listening to. Oh.
honesty. I was always taught honesty is the best policy.
You're
what
right.
can I say?
You're right. Basso, how are you doing? What's up with the Team 1040 these days?
We're just hanging out. It's tough without hockey, man. I'm telling you, this hockey thing. At first, you think, oh, we could do without it. But you know what?
Can they just get this done or what?
You got to work the really terrible Christmas schedule?
No, this year I got it off. They've got some young apprentices that are going to fill the grueling hours. So I've got a little bit of leeway there. But I'm telling you, man, can you imagine if wrestling had a lockout?
Oh.
Wouldn't that be ugly?
I never, know, never
I'm actually
happen.
Okay
you,
with that.
You might have some
never
time
happen.
To cool off, maybe, but
yeah.
not for me.
I'm actually okay with a lockout right now. Regardless, we'll get into it. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, @SRL Radio on Twitter. Now, we announced it earlier on the website this week. We have begun our process. We are introducing the 2012 SRL Radio Year-End Awards. Now, if you don't know what that is, we did a show last year where we give out what we think the best of and the worst of is in 2012 when it came to WWE, TNA, whatever you really... The award is open for anyone, but I'm thinking mostly WWE. This year is going to be a lot different because we got a really big idea in the works. We have hand-selected a panel of 12 people, and we are going to be asking this panel of 12 to give us who they think should win the best of and worst of categories. We're going to take all 12, tabulate them, and that will determine the winners of the awards, the SRL 2012 Year-End Awards.
Big show, big show.
And this panel of 12, very hard to argue with. We got guys, well, I'm going to keep the names under wraps for now, but big names surrounding the wrestling industry, some actual wrestlers themselves. It's going to be very difficult to argue. I'm telling you, the Slammies, they ain't got nothing on these.
Wow, well, now that you've built it up that big, it better deliver.
I was going to say, the Slammies are like my favorite award show of all time besides the Junos. Lady. So that's.
Do you like the Slammies? No, or yes?
I'm a Slammy guy.
I don't mind them.
I like the Slammies.
But they're not legit like these awards will be.
See, this
you got to admit that.
This is what I don't like, is that before the Slammies was like something that it was his own show, its own entity, right? Like you tune in for an hour, watch it, whenever it was. Now they make it part of Raw. That I don't like. I get it, but I don't like it. I wish it was his own thing on the weekend or something.
No, I definitely agree. The Slammies to me just oozes ridiculousness.
Well,
the
one some thing, awards are all right. Others are, pretty cheesy.
I don't like how they like somehow managed to make matches right after the award's been given out. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but I remember watching Slammies in the past, and it's like, oh, I've won the award, but if you want to keep the award, then you have to beat this guy right now on Monday Night Raw. Or something like that. Like,
you have to fight for your Slammy? When did they do this?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example.
Making that up.
No, they've done that before. Anyways. I'm sure you guys are going to be debating me lots tonight.
In my sleep, my friend.
We also got very interesting... we got an interesting show tonight because not only are three of us in studio, we're also going to be joined over the phone by the Score Network's Art O'Cal. For the first time ever, four of us going head-to-head talking Monday Night Raw. You throw in my negativity that's coming down the pipe. It's going to be very good tonight.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting to see what Arda has for us moving forward, especially at a time where WWE could really use a boost in product.
The second time Arda O'Cal's appeared on Smack Talk Radio Live, so it should be very interesting. But let's do what we do each and every week at the beginning of the show. Let's catch everyone up on the business of the business. Let's kick off the post-to-post report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, we kick off the post-to-post report this week with a bit of a bizarre lawsuit that was launched against the WWE. Developmental talent, or I guess you can say former developmental talent, Brian Jack. He filed a lawsuit against the WWE, Vince McMahon, Dr. James Andrews, John Laurinaitis, and Santino Marella, among others.
Huh.
Jack alleges that he told WWE officials of hazing, sexual harassment, and threats while working in developmental, but was told to work it out with head Steve Kern, president of NXT. He says Kern ended up breaking his neck, pelvis, backbone, thumb, and leg.
Jesus.
Allegedly. He also claims that the WWE used Shed Media, the producers behind the recent season of Tough Enough, to make him believe he would be a contestant on the show and to sign a contract that would release WWE of any and all liabilities before, during, and after production of the series. When Jack asked for the clause to be removed, WWE told him they would send a new contract to him in the mail, but it never came. Jack also claims that Santino Marella tried to get him to commit insurance fraud on his homeowner's policy.
What?
And that the WWE wanted him to get into a staged car wreck so their developmental insurance wouldn't take a hit. He
also claims the WWE sent him to James Andrews to get his leg fixed, and that Andrews asked him bizarre questions, and get this, even checked him for a wire.
Wow.
He also claims to still be receiving medical bills from Andrews, even though the WWE told him to forward the bills to them. In a most recent update, though, it appears the lawsuit has been dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. That takes care of that.
What a crazy story that is.
That is insane.
Breaking your neck, pelvis, backbone, thumb, and leg.
I don't know how the president of NXT would do that, but of course these are all allegations. Nothing will ever be proven because the court case got thrown out, but let me just say this. WWE, be a star. Don't you think this probably goes on a lot more than people know about?
I'm sure it does, but that sounds like a movie. That sounds very extreme, what he's accusing all those people of.
Those are some serious allegations.
It does seem
sure.
very far-fetched for sure.
John Bradshaw Layfield revealed in a new blog on Facebook that he has pulled a muscle in his shin, forcing him to reschedule his next mountain climb. JBL, who is raising money for kids in Bermuda by climbing the 7 tallest mountains in the world, was scheduled to climb a mountain in Argentina, get this, nicknamed Mount Death, on January 11th,
nice.
But now must postpone the climb until February 24th. JBL added, I will not miss any pay-per-views and will be back in time for Mania, unless, of course, I die up there.
Oh, wow. This is a crazy fundraising adventure for JBL. I gotta admit, though, very impressive. The guy wants to climb 7 mountain peaks, all the tallest in the world. How can you not want to donate to that cause?
It's very, what do you say about that?
What would be harder to train for, you think, Basso? Climbing 7 mountain peaks or being a WWE wrestler?
Well, we just talked about some hazing. With or without the hazing, I'd probably climb a mountain in that aspect.
Nice. WWE announced prior to Monday's Raw that the 2012 Slammy Awards will air live on next week's Raw. How this made it into the post-to-post report, I have no idea. But it must be a slow news week. The WWE claims that for the first time ever, fans will determine the winner of each Slammy category exclusively through the WWE app and WWE Second Screen Experience. I don't know what that is. Oh no, it's called WWE Active, sorry.
I see.
The Second Screen Experience called WWE Active. I have no idea what that is.
Yeah, neither do I.
The categories announced this year are Superstar of the Year, Breakout Star of the Year, the Trending Now Award, which is apparently going to be the hashtag of the year, Comeback of the Year, Kiss of the Year, the Tell Me I Did Not Just See That Moment of the Year, which is the most shocking moment of the year, and the LOL Moment of the Year, and of course, Match of the Year.
LOL Moment, really?
I'm interested to know, what would be the Trending Now Award this year? What would be the best hashtag of the year? To me, it's easy winner, but...
What?
Were you going to say boots to asses, Mr. The Rock fan?
Yes, absolutely.
I knew it!
Well, what better hashtag than that one?
This is why you put the whole story in here, isn't it? You just need to get in your mention.
Can't have enough Rock on today's wrestling. The Cauliflower Alley Club has announced the recipient of the 2013 Lou Thesz Lifetime Achievement Award, and the prestigious award will go to Percy Pringle, of course better known to WWE fans as Paul Bearer. According to the CAC website, the nominees must have a widely recognized professional wrestling career and must have achieved success in more than one area of pro wrestling, which taken together have brought credit to the profession, whether that's through promoting, broadcasting, managing, refereeing, etc. The Cauliflower Alley Club reunion happens next year in Las Vegas, April 15th to 17th.
And you went to the event last year, and it was quite the experience. We talked about it on the show.
One of the best things I've ever gone to. If I can go again this year, I'm going to. One of the highlights was sitting in a seminar where Jim Ross was telling indie wrestlers what the WWE looks for and what they need to do to set up themselves properly to get looked at by the WWE. I mean, just the information in that seminar alone made the entire trip to the Cauliflower
Alley
Club reunion worthwhile.
So. And Percy Pringle himself was in that seminar, wasn't he?
That's right. He was sitting literally right behind me.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Old P. Diddy.
I have a picture on my phone, actually. I creeped a picture of him sitting right behind me.
Should we post that on the Smack Talk Radio Live website?
No, I'll probably go to jail for that one.
Okay, and according to Outsports.com, the WWE is distancing themselves from Southern California-based independent wrestler Scorpio Sky after the wrestling veteran posted anti-gay messages on his Twitter account. Scorpio, who does claim on his Twitter page that he tweets a lot of craziness, and if you get offended, try having a sense of humor, posted tweets saying incredibly intelligent things, such as, "This shit for the faggots," Wow. Interesting.
Interesting.
Wow. Classy.
Yes, very. Now, when a fan asks why he would go that route and use that word, he ends up comparing it to the N-word. Scorpio, who did appear as Harold in one of Daniel Bryan and Kane's anger management classes back in August, has put himself on the outside looking in. Now, when a fan wrote into WWE Fan Services, the WWE responded by saying, WWE strongly believes that everyone should be treated with respect, and this principle is the foundation of our anti-bullying initiative, Be a Star. Mr. Andrews no longer works for the WWE, and we have no plans to work with him in the future.
Just another example of people misusing social media, Twitter, Facebook.
I'm sorry, this guy's an idiot.
That's all I gotta say.
That's all I gotta say about this guy.
No, I agree.
He's a total fool.
Who uses that word on Twitter and then thinks they're gonna get away with it?
Like, he just completely blacklisted himself now in the professional wrestling industry. It's just, what an
you
idiot.
Got guys like Zack Ryder who have so made stupid. Their careers off Twitter, yeah. And then you have guys like Scorpio Sky who are ruining their careers through Twitter.
Moron.
It's ridiculous.
Jeez.
In terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price, it closed at $8.08 a share today.
Yeah, whatever.
It's almost below that $8.
That's right. I'll start looking at it seriously when that happens. In terms of television ratings this week, WWE Raw on Monday, December 10th, it scored a 2.67 rating, up from a near low 2.55 last week. That would be a near year low. It averaged 3.76 million viewers, up 9.5% from the year low average, 3.44 million viewers. However, Raw was down 6.9% when comparing average viewership during the three-hour era. That's down 6.9% from, you know, the overall viewership average.
Right.
Since Raw has gone to 3 hours.
I get you.
Now, in terms of the hourly breakdown, the stat that I love to read each and every week, the first hour, it averaged 3.74 million viewers. It then increased to 3.88 million in the second hour. And then for the 17th straight week, viewership declined in the third hour, dropping to 3.67 million. Now, just as a comparison, last year at this time, Raw scored a 3.05 two-hour rating with viewership averaging 4.1 million viewers. So this week's rating, 2.67. This time last year, 3.05.
You can't even blame the football game for that one because by that point, the game was pretty much over.
Well, yeah, it's true.
It was a blowout on Monday.
That's true.
It's the post-to-post report. Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business. Pretty slow news week, I'd say, this week, but...
It's been a couple of slow news weeks.
What about ratings, though? What do you make of these television ratings, boys? You know, the ratings don't seem to be going higher. They seem to be getting progressively lower. Is that just a trend we should all be getting used to with the fact that Raw's 3 hours, or is this cause for concern?
Well, I'd say it's cause for concern because that's, I think, where you'd want your viewership to be increasing for sure is during your last hour.
I seem to wonder if they're going with the formula that, okay, we're just accepting the ratings are going to be lower, but if we have more hours of programming on TV each week, you know, with Main Event and Saturday Morning Slam, then it'll all balance out in the end.
Well, I think if you look at the numbers that you just read, you said it was, they did what in the first hour? A 2.55? Followed by a 2.67, followed by a 2.8.
No, it started with 3.74 million in the first, 3.88 in the second, dropping to 3.67 million in the third.
Okay.
So basically what's happening is people are watching, they're tuning into the first little bit of Raw. It's dropping off a little bit, but it does increase when they get to the second hour. But when you get to the third hour, viewership is spiking downwards. Like, people just are not staying awake for that long, I don't think.
I think that's just something to get used to. I don't think that's any reason for concern. I think they probably banked on that with a three-hour show, but I know I find it hard to stay up 3 hours. That's for damn
sure.
Well,
we'll get into it. Why it's hard to stay up for 3 hours each and every Monday. Let's break it down. Monday Night Raw in a segment we call Tail the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
All right, the segment I have been waiting for the last 2 weeks. Cannot wait for this to start here.
Oh boy, here we go.
Monday Night Raw, this week from the Prudential Center in New Jersey. Home of WrestleMania 29. Not the stadium, but the city. Come on, guys, take part here. What's going on?
Oh, I thought you were finishing your thought there.
I know. I was waiting for Bassa to say something. No, I enjoyed Raw. I thought it was not so bad. I liked the brawl at the end. That was very entertaining.
Yeah.
I was saying to you before the show that I thought it was one of the better Raws in the last couple weeks. I mean, from a match perspective, I know you aren't too hot on what went down with the whole show, but I thought there were some okay matches.
Should we just get to my rant right now? Or
if you want to. I just want you to burn yourself off. I don't want to be dealing with this volatile atmosphere this whole show.
Maybe we should just get it out of you right away.
No, we'll wait. Okay. We'll hold it in. Okay. We'll build up to it.
That's what wrestling's about. You got to climax. You got to build up to it. You're right.
I know. My point is, wrestling even doing that these days? I don't know. All right, let's not waste any time. We do have a fourth member of our panel tonight to talk Monday Night Raw and the week it was in professional wrestling. Now, this man, he needs no introduction, I would hope, if you live in Canada, because if you don't know who this guy is, there's something wrong with you.
Then you're not watching wrestling every week.
Or you're PVRing and fast-forwarding through the commercials.
No, who does that? Who does that?
Nobody
does that.
No way,
heavens no.
We welcome to Smack Talk Radio Live this week from the Score Network, Arto Cal. Arta, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, but I've been thinking for the past few minutes, how am I going to upstage Paul Lazenby since you had him as a guest a couple weeks ago?
You can't, my friend.
I'm trying to think of ways to bury the guy. You know that I'm the only guy, you know how he does the whole punch in the face thing? You know I'm the only guy that took a picture with him for that, and he no-sold my punch. I'm
really?
One of his punches.
Well, I'm sure Paul's listening. Message will get passed along, I'm sure. Just don't talk about local wrestling or independent wrestling with Paul. It's a whole other can of worms.
It's a touchy subject.
Very touchy subject.
We'll leave that alone. We're talking. Oh, I want to hear this rant. Why are you making us wait?
No, because...
Are you waiting for WrestleMania? You're going to wait till April to tell us?
I don't want the fans or the listeners... We don't have any fans. I should say listeners to start hating me before we even start talking about Raw. Because I just am hating the product. So before I get into that, Arta, I want to get all the housekeeping out of the way. I want to know what you're up to these days. I mean, obviously, you're still involved with the Score, but there's no Aftermath podcast going on these days. What's the latest update with
that? What's up with that?
Yeah, a lot of people are still asking, what's up with Aftermath Radio? Why is it on hiatus? And basically, all I can tell you is it's just a product of what's happening right now with the Score. Obviously, it's no secret that the Score television network has been bought by Rogers. And basically, we're all waiting until the CRTC, the government, approves the sale, and Rogers comes in, and we then figure out what they're going to do with the Score. We have no idea. There's no, like, leaks, rumors, whatever. That's it. We're just all waiting and wait and see kind of thing. And unfortunately, because of this, the whole split between web and TV, the web became its own company, Score Digital, so they have their own company now. And a byproduct of that was all the podcasts that we've done were lost. And unfortunately, that included the most popular one, which was Aftermath Radio. I can't go and make... A lot of people are like, well, how come you can't just go make your own podcast? I can't, because it's part of my contract that I do things for the Score. I can't necessarily just go and start a podcast by myself.
I thought you were selling out for money.
No, listen, I probably should at this point. I'd be like, hey, Rogers, if you want Aftermath Radio, I'll charge you triple. But
that's right.
No, that's not the case at all. It's funny. Aftermath Radio was the, like, if you look at my tasks at the Score, that one was the labor of love. That one was the one that didn't generated the least amount of revenue, but it was the most fun to do, in a sense. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So trust me, it's not for a lack of wanting to do it.
All right, we'll let you off the hook on that one.
I'm not letting him off the hook, but still.
No, we understand. I understand, definitely. How's it been received at the Score with this new start time for Monday Night Raw? I'd asked you a couple weeks ago about it. I'm guessing everyone's just loving that news.
A lot of people are happy. People are still complaining. It's funny because the wrestling fan will always complain no matter what you give them. It started at 9, people complained that it was an hour late. It starts at 8:15, people are complaining it starts at 8:15.
Wow.
I'm not going to tell you what the reason why it starts at 8:15, but I will say that there may or may not be an explanation on the Score's Wikipedia page. So if you want to go there and investigate yourself, you can go ahead and do so. It's public information. I am not at liberty to tell you. So there's a pseudo answer as to why Raw starts at 8:15 on the Score. Now, I find it funny that many longtime wrestling fans forget when Raw was on PSN and how long or how delayed Raw was when it was on TSN. I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, yes, I certainly do.
Yeah.
Right? Raw would be delayed like 3 hours, 6, 9, 12 hours, and it wouldn't matter. Yeah. I do the updates, right? I do the updates. Remember when Jim Van Horn was doing the updates?
Yeah.
He didn't even like wrestling. He was just like, we'll get back to wrestling after this. He didn't even like wrestling. Like, he was like, I can't believe that we're watching this in between commercial breaks. You know what I mean? At least I'm giving something that people kind of care about.
That was a monumental day when TSN sold wrestling or the WWE contract. When they got rid of that, that was a big, big decision for them. And I believe it was ultimately Monday Night Football that changed that and swerved that. Was they had, you know, the contract had come up who would get the Monday Night Football rights in Canada. TSN ended up getting it, so they had to let go of Monday Night Raw. But I know that it was bittersweet for them. As I'm sure it's a huge moneymaker for the score.
Well, it's a big ratings get. I mean, there's no hiding the fact that wrestling is by far the biggest ratings on the score. Mm-hmm. And a byproduct of that is obviously Aftermath, or right after wrestling. It's been going on since actually December marks the third anniversary of Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still today ranked as the highest rated show the score has ever produced in-house. And that says something.
Not bad. Yeah, wow. Not bad at all.
That is impressive.
Congratulations. That's very impressive. Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you about. Your partner in crime, or your former partner in crime, Renee Paquette, or Renee Young, she's now in the WWE. You know, that's a huge move for her. I mean, everyone in Canada is behind that and watching and following along and hoping she does well. I got to ask you, Arda, have you ever had any similar talks yourself with the WWE? And is the option of going that road there for you?
Funny, especially my haters, were having a field day when the news came out that Renee was signed. Everyone was like, oh, you must be so jealous. Look at you. You're stuck at this job. Renee got a job at WWE. You suck, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't be happier for her for two reasons. Number one, because she truly deserves it. She came in hosting right after wrestling, not having watched wrestling for a very, very long time. I think the last event she went to before that was WrestleMania 18. And that was because her dad was working backstage as, I think he was a tour manager for Live Nation or something like that. So she was invited backstage. That says something. Like, she took to the product, she learned very quickly, and she became an expert, a great host on a professional wrestling show, and people like to watch her.
Oh, come on. We're all a little jealous of her. We all have to be somewhat a little jealous of her.
It's just natural.
You know what? I'm more jealous of the two other guys they hired than Renee, because I can't take Renee's job. Renee, the WWE was looking for a female, and they hired Renee.
That's a good point. I'm
disqualified from that position anyway. I'm jealous of Tony Luftman and Tom Hannifin, who are now Tony Dawson and Tom Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking me my opinion, I think that I could absolutely do what they're doing in WWE. Do I want to work there? Of course I do. You're damn right I do. One day I will work there, because that's my only option. If you look at my career at the score, what the hell else am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, I barely do any sports. All I'm doing is wrestling and MMA. So unless the UFC comes calling, I'm going to WWE. And that's the door that I keep knocking on. Have I had conversations with them lately? Yes, I have. Are they hiring? No, they're not. Have I had an audition? Yes, I have, like 4 years ago, and it was the worst day of my life. It was a horrible audition. It was just the worst. Like, it was horrible.
Tell us about it. What happened? What did you have to do?
Well, I flew there, and I went to the offices, and basically they had me in the studio, and it was, I was nervous as hell. Like, this was before I started at the sport, so I was, like, kind of leapfrogging, like, 4 or 5 steps in my career to get to this point. And I was, like, overwhelmed, like, just to sit there and then having to do, like, mock interviews with, like, Joey Styles, if he does all these impressions of different superstars and stuff, and then having to call matches with him. It was like, probably 3 or 4 hours worth of stuff to do, like mock interviews, sell a product, do like 3 or 4 matches. And Joey wasn't in a great mood that day either, so it didn't help.
Gosh. Yeah.
Like, I think he was just in a very stark, like, Joey's probably one of the most talented guys in his job, but like, if he's in a bad mood, I think he's going to just eat you alive, you know? So it just wasn't the greatest day for me personally. But when I look back on it, I think I just wasn't ready. So if I were to get an audition today, I think I'd knock it out of the park. but that's just me.
Well, is that are you actively trying, or are you just enjoying your current gig at the for the time being?
Well, I'm very happy, but I mean, there's all this uncertainty, right? I mean, what happens in the next few months when Rogers assumes control? I mean, if all of a sudden, let me put it to you this way: if all of a sudden I became, if there was like a UFC or a WWE Central kind of program where it was kind of like Aftermath, but it was kind of like what Showdown Joe does for Sportsnet, if something like that came about, that would be terrific. That would probably be a dream scenario, and I probably wouldn't need to go to WWE because I would be very happy doing that, and that's probably what I would be angling for once the Rogers thing takes over. Mm-hmm. But if they decide, you know what, we're going to scale down on our WWE product, and we don't need all of these periphery shows, we don't need the NXTs or the Vintage Collections or the Experiences or whatever, which I'm hosting now, which is awesome in Canada anyway, then all of a sudden I'm useless to them and I'm out of a job. So, of course, I'm going to kind of look at my options elsewhere. So, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. I think I'm just waiting and seeing what the decisions are going to be made. But, WWE is always in the back of my mind. But as of right now, they're not hiring anybody. They just hired Renee and Tom and Tony. And that's another thing, by the way. I'm not trying to take questions out of your mouth. But a lot of people are like, oh, why did Renee's name get changed? It's not just her. All three of them got name changes. I don't know if people realize that. But Tony Lustman became Tony Dawson. Tom Hannafin became Tom Phillips. And Renee Paquette became Renee Young. So it's not just Renee, it's all three of them.
And I'm guessing it comes down to name ownership. Is that correct?
I would guess. I mean, that's why most people get different gimmicks when they become wrestlers in the WWE. I mean, it's likely because of their ownership.
I found it kind of interesting that on Vintage Collection, they introduced her as kind of a co-host with Mean Gene this week, but they were calling her Renee Paquette. So obviously taped earlier, but... thought that was
exactly. I would guess that was taped during her first or second week, I would guess. Mm-hmm.
So Arda, if they picked you up, what do you think what type of gimmick change would they give to you? What would your name be?
Dude, you honestly think my name would say Arda Ocal? I would be lucky if one of those names stayed the same. Or you know what? I'd probably be the Irish commentator and they'd add an apostrophe after the O.
Yeah.
So I'd be like,
O-Cal.
I don't know, Adam O'Cal or something, right?
All right.
Yes, I don't know. That'd be my best guess.
All right, let's I'm actually quite excited here because we got four of us talking WWE tonight, something we don't get to do all the time. Let's kick it off. Let's start talking Monday Night Raw and the week it was in pro wrestling. Let's start off with the big topic, The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and Seth Rollins making their impact felt. Here's what happened on Monday Night Raw.
I'm Seth Rollins.
Roman Reigns.
I'm Dean Ambrose. What do we know about injustice?
We don't just know injustice.
We've lived it.
Last Monday, CM Punk, champion for over a year, was disrespected with a lie detector test by The Miz. Welcome to consequences, Miz.
Randy Orton took advantage of a young, defenseless Brad Maddox. Well, welcome to payback, Randy.
We shield the WWE from injustice.
Team Hell No.
Nobody says no to the Shield.
Ryback, you've been handed success on a silver platter. You've been handed fame and fortune. You've been put on a pedestal. We knocked you off that pedestal. We stopped you cold. Welcome back to reality, Ryback.
We don't work for anybody. Not Paul Heyman, not the WWE Champion. We work for each other.
All right, let me start with James. The Shield, James. Are they doing it for you, and have they convinced you to tune into TLC this Sunday?
Yes, I'm liking what The Shield's doing. I think it's an interesting way to bring these three up-and-comers into the big picture, and I see big things happening for them in the future. And yeah, as far as buying TLC in the weekend, I'm still on the fence about that one.
Corey Basso.
I'm kind of on the same page, but kind of not on the same page. I like that these guys are being brought up, but I don't want the Shield thing to just be an excuse to bring these guys up. I'd like to see it actually go somewhere logical. I want to see it finish somewhere, and I want to see it lead to something. So far, it's been fairly innovative as far as new groups kind of crashing in, you know, searching for injustice. That's the big question. What is injustice? What is all of this? I think I definitely need to see where it leads before I give it some judgment. That being said, it can't just be an excuse to bring up new talent. You actually need to do something with these guys and with this storyline.
Arda Ocal, your thoughts on The Shield?
I think that it's fresh. I think that it's interesting. I think that there's something there, but we need more substance now. We can't just see them attack week after week after week. That kind of made this Nexus a little stale. And I'm looking forward to seeing if it'll stay at three. I think we may grow. I think it will be interesting times for the Shield. And I'm very happy that they're in the main event, to be honest. Why not? I mean, there's two guys.
Exactly.
Ambrose and Rollins, who have all this hype behind them. Well, time to step up. Let's see what you got.
What don't you like about the Shield, Arda?
I don't like the idea that, well, I don't like their parallels to the Nexus. I think that there have been some subtleties that have reminded me of the Nexus, and it just leads me to believe that we're going to take them down a path that we won't like. What another foreshadow is, if they're just fodder for Ryback, meaning if they just are jobbers for Ryback, that will bother me. That is not the way I would like to see Ambrose or Rollins debut or be used right now in WWE. Otherwise, that's about it. I'm excited. I think the Shield is good. I like the promos. I like the videos, how they're cutting them. It's a little different than what we're seeing. And I like where this is going.
Anything fresh is good.
My big question with the Shield is, what are they shielding us from? I understand the line, they're shielding us from the injustice. What does that mean? What does it mean? What I can't figure it out.
No.
Why am I supposed to care what these guys are shielding us from? Really, all they've done is attacked random people in the ring week after week.
Baby faces, just okay, the top baby faces.
Okay, fine. But first of all, it's happened too often. It's progressing. This whole Shield storyline is progressing too slow, in my opinion.
Really,
I've seen it week after week, the same thing with no explanation. So we're like 4 weeks in. Why am I supposed to start caring what they're shielding?
That's what Art is kind of saying, is that he needs more substance now. So do you think there is a higher power leading these guys, or is it just them three?
My point is get on with it. If there is, bring them out.
Wow.
No, because I need to see something.
Isn't that what TLC is going to be? Exactly. I mean, I agree.
Well, let's hope. But why do I have a feeling it's not?
Well, let's hope ours not saying.
I disagree with you there, man.
Why do you disagree?
You can pretty much guarantee that at TLC you will get you may get one question
something
answered and two more questions posed, but you will get a furtherment of a storyline from Sunday.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Okay. What is the injustice? If we're making predictions about TLC and TLC...
I really think you do. I think that's
no,
just
because
line.
That's the whole basis of this. This is what ruined the main event of last pay-per-view. This is what brought guys... This is what is causing Ryback to be put through tables, Kane to be put through table. The reason is they're shielding us from the injustice. Explain to me. If it's going to be revealed at TLC, great. I'm looking forward to it. But just looking ahead, what would the injustice be? What is it that they are protecting us from? If I can have even a hint of what that means, I'm interested. But I have no hint, and I'm not interested.
Well, it's like a self-perceived injustice, I guess, right? And I'd have to...
Of what?
I don't know. I think it'd be a little bit more plausible if they were maybe more like kind of like tweeners as opposed to just flat-out heels. But I can kind of see what you're saying.
Are they protecting everything that's wrong with wrestling? Is that what it is?
Well, it's just what they perceive to be injustices, right?
Because I thought that's kind of what CM Punk was doing
earlier
this
year,
and then they strayed away from that. I'm trying to figure out what they're protecting us from. Like, I can't even get a hint of it. I don't even have a whiff of where they're going with this. And
I think you'll get
that's why I don't care.
Hopefully you'll get your answers, Corey. Calm down. You're about to burst out of your V-neck there. Chill out.
Oh. I'm about to pull a Ric Flair in the middle of the ring.
Arda, give this guy a chest chop or something, man. Like, seriously.
Do you understand? Do you agree with anything I'm saying there, Arda?
I understand your point. I think I'm a fan of slower building storylines than I am of hotshot storylines. So I will give WWE the benefit of the doubt here. And I think that there's a lot of people who are quick to criticize WWE. I'm not saying that's you, Corey. I just feel that there are a lot of people that do that, especially in the internet wrestling community. I'm not one of those people. I see that WWE has introduced us to a story, and I am willing to see where before... I'm willing to not pass judgment until I see where it's going, and that's what I'm going to do on Sunday. So if something happens that I don't agree with, or I'm not amicable with, or I just don't like, then I'll say so. But until then, I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'm not going to necessarily shit on it right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you not think you can be a little more creative than just by having these guys come out and put guys through tables and attack them in the ring? Like, we've seen this a million times before. Am I really supposed to care when they do that anymore? Like,
what's the alternative now? It is wrestling. I mean, that is the product. What's the alternative, really, besides mind game promos or...
I don't know.
I think we just determined that it was fresh. Right? And fresh is
good. To me, it's not fresh. We saw it with Nexus.
But it's slightly... Like, keep in mind, wrestling's been around for a long time. A lot of stuff gets kind of repeated and recycled, but I think they've done a little bit differently here. While I do have similarities to Nexus, I do think that it is slightly different enough to...
Well, one thing I noticed that they're doing differently is that, you know, they did make mention that these guys came from NXT in the beginning, but they kind of only mentioned it the first week, and they've kind of strayed away from saying that these guys are NXT products. So they're kind of ignoring that aspect, which is different than when Nexus came in.
Yeah.
You know, they really heavily advertised that these were developmental guys.
And I think that's like the reason right there is they kind of want to separate... the Shield from the Nexus, and they kind of want to get away from the comparisons that people make between the two groups.
But obviously, one question I need to ask to all you gentlemen is, the Shield, I think we all agree, needs to go over at TLC.
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be the biggest mistake if they lost. But
why do I have a feeling that's not going to happen?
I don't know.
Because Arda had mentioned it, fodder for Ryback. That's what this is, I think.
So you think that they'd have them lose just so Ryback wouldn't be on the losing end for the third straight pay-per-view? Is that what you're saying?
That's a huge thing. That's a huge reason as to why I'm leaning yes. The other thing is you just spent months and months and months building up Ryback. You're not going to have him... You're not going to lose even more momentum than this guy has by having him lose to the Shield. I mean, yes, the aftermath is you will have three guys on the up as opposed to one. But to me, it's like you spent all this time invested in Ryback, and Vince McMahon loves Ryback.
Yeah,
so,
but listen, on the flip side, it's you've got three guys instead of just them against Ryback. So you could have either Kane or Daniel Bryan take the fall and still have Ryback looking good, you know?
You're right, and that's probably why
they're in there. And there's always the built-in excuse of 3-on-1. Ryback won't... Nobody will look weak getting beat down by three and possibly a fourth guy if the storyline does pan out.
Okay, so you're saying the Shield wins this weekend then?
I think it would be stupid if
they
didn't.
They should win, yes.
Arda, you agree?
Yeah, I think they should. I would like to see them win. Going back to the point about the whole Nexus thing, though, just remember, this is an interesting statistic, and I think that it's very telling in terms of storylines. You know, we on this phone call or on this podcast are pretty much like we watch WWE every week. We probably consume every last minute of WWE programming. So we've seen the storylines come. We can see storylines coming. We can kind of predict where they're going. We've been watching it for several years. The average WWE viewer only watches about 12 weeks of WWE a year. So they're not necessarily invested in the storylines. Yeah, they're not necessarily invested in the storylines as much as we are. So you got to kind of keep that in mind when you're watching storylines. I think that the way that storylines are built aren't necessarily, hey, how can we pop the hardcore fan that watches every last second of our product? It's more, you know, how can we make the best product to everybody watching and every single demographic? And to be honest with you, as much as we're complaining about the details in terms of the Shield and like how, oh, we've seen this before in 2010 with the Nexus and whatever, We're still gonna consume and we're still gonna watch and we're still gonna want to know what happens with these guys because there's so much hype around two of the three. So we're kind of invested already anyway, aren't we?
This is not me complaining. This is me just saying, get on with the explanation.
You're sure.
And the explanation needs to be decent. Otherwise, I'm not gonna care.
Sorry, man. I'm with Arda. I'm a fan of the slow build-up.
Well, you know what? You can just go on Aftermath Radio. All right, you can get off this show and go on Aftermath.
I never wanted to be on this show, anyways.
All right, I think we could. One thing I wanted to ask you. Okay, we talked about who's gonna win the match quickly, and I kind of mentioned it before, but I'd like to hear something. What do you think is the explanation at TLC of the Shield? Like, you know, not the match aside, is he with CM Punk? Is the Shield with Paul Heyman? You know, like, who are the Shield aligned with here?
Well, it's interesting. You go a whole bunch of different angles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what do you think's the most likely?
I'd say the one that makes sense, obviously, is CM Punk. Mm-hmm. I've read stuff that says Brad Maddox is behind it all. I've read stuff that says Vince is behind it all. I don't know. I really don't know, and I'm not even going to wager a guess.
Yeah, okay. It could be a million different possibilities. I think, though, at the pay-per-view, we're going to see more people join the Shield, though.
Mm. Really?
We're going to see it increase, I think. That's just my prediction.
Arda, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that if they were all Paul Heyman guys and, you know, we're going to bring the sword if it becomes Brock Lesnar because he has a sword tattoo.
That's what I've been hearing too,
theory I've heard. Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, great. I mean, at the end of the day, it would be cool. Like, it's a good situation because if CM Punk is facing The Rock at the Royal Rumble, then all of a sudden CM Punk has an army of guys behind him and The Rock is only one guy. So it kind of looks good for fans to see, oh, man, can The Rock beat CM Punk if he has an whole army behind him? Like,
that's true.
And yeah. I don't mind CM Punk in a group, you know? Like, I don't mind him in a group because he did so well with the Straight Edge Society. So I wouldn't mind him, you know, being spearheading another group where it's Paul Heyman guys, but CM Punk's kind of the leader. That's fine by me.
Hmm. Yeah, CM Punk is a very good stable leader. Do you think it's about time we get back to the stables, Arda? I mean, it's been so long since we've seen a very good stable. Do you think that's a lost art in wrestling these days?
Evolution was the last good one, I thought.
Yeah, I think that stables will always draw. That's just my opinion. I think that there's always money in them, especially with the right members. So,
and if they're done right.
If there's more coming, then sure. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, there's a difference to me, though, between the Shield and three-man band. I mean, there's one group that I want to see. There's another group I don't, so.
Yeah, you know I want to see like, three-man band, and I don't want to see the Shield. I know you're exactly so what you mean.
Yeah.
You're so bizarre.
I figured that's where you're going with that. But yeah, exactly. Like, there's a difference, but there's always the potential. I mean, strength in numbers is always, it's always a built-in story that will stand the test of time.
Okay, now Basso, before we move on to our next topic here, I want to quickly bring this up. Basso had mentioned Brad Maddox returned on, you know, he did return on Monday Night Raw. What do you guys think of Brad Maddox coming back and refereeing the Divas match?
I can't make hair nor hither of this storyline. If they're trying to throw us loops, they're doing a good job because I really, like, he's fighting for a contract against Ryback. He's got a photographer taking his picture. Now all of a sudden he's a ref again. But he's still
working with Vicky now.
He's still screwing people and he's working with Vic. I don't know what to make of this.
It's very confusing.
Arda?
I would like an explanation as to why he's allowed in the building after he lost to Ryback. I think that was left unexplained. He's just moseying along in the locker room and all of a sudden getting these sort of opportunities. I want to know why. But barring that, I think that there's something about the guy. That's the thing, is that I actually think he does have a lot of charisma in his own way. And it's very intriguing to me. So I can see him rising. I can see him becoming a superstar and making his niche. But I don't know. I mean, the way that it's going right now is a little bit annoying, but I think it's going to stop very soon.
Oh, a storyline without an explanation is kind of what I'm sensing here. We have no explanation for anything that we're watching on television.
Corey, calm down. The hair is raising on your arms again. True. You're scaring me.
It's true. That's basically what we all just said there, is that there's no explanation for what's happening with Brad Maddox. Now, in contrast to the way I've acted tonight, I actually really, really like Brad Maddox, and I was shocked that they squashed him to Ryback, and they got rid of him. Now, here's my issue with this Monday. The guy creates the most ridiculous ending to a pay-per-view, does the ultimate no-no as a referee, and then he comes out and asks for a match and a contract, and he gets shut down. So what do? Because, hey, this makes sense. Let's have him ref a match on Monday Night Raw. What the hell? That makes no sense to me. Second of all, the guy should never be allowed to put on a referee shirt ever again.
Well,
it's the worst thing you can do as a referee. They put him back on Monday Night Raw and say, here you go, you're a referee again.
Once again, I'll take something that Arda kind of said. I think they're trying to look for a way to get him back in the building without having to explain why he's still in the building after losing to Ryback. And I think the easy way is just to throw the stripes back on him.
And that's my problem here. There's no, like, that makes no sense at all.
Haven't we already determined on past episodes of the show that logic is not a prerequisite for the creative process?
But, you know, you want to sit here and ask why I'm so negative about professional wrestling this week. This is something I'm trying to bring up here. Like, we're supposed to just sit back and accept it. And I can't accept it. It's making my love for wrestling disappear.
But is maybe,
because of reasons like this.
But is maybe the average fan, you said, who's listening to or watching 12 weeks a year, they see something this we don't, being overly critical.
I can appreciate the stat that Arda brings up about the casual fan. And I can understand that not all storylines are written for the hardcore fans. But I will say this, and people can argue against me if you want. Wrestling has lasted as long as it has because of their hardcore audience. And the reason why WWE has grown as much as it has to the level that it has is because of the hardcore audience. So I don't care what the stats say. I don't care what the stats say. You need to protect the hardcore audience.
I'm sure and marketing this, helps a bit too.
But you know, this doesn't protect hardcore audiences. Everything we've talked about so far, this is not protecting the fans that really do care about the product. Dude, I'm someone that have watched wrestling from 3 years old. And when I'm seeing this stuff on television, I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying my hardest to dumb it down a little bit. And I can't even do it here.
But at the end of the day, they're not putting the product out for you. Even though you've been watching wrestling since you were a child, they're not putting the product out for you. They're putting the product out for your kids now, the younger generation.
So in terms of Brad Maddox, then, this is just a classic case of let's just forget about what happened and move on.
Little Jimmy will forget.
And accept that he's back on Monday Night Raw. I mean, if that's what they want me to do, then that's what I'll do.
Now that's,
but I'm just saying.
Now that's something that we've seen a million times.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, Brad Maddox back on television, folks.
After all that.
All right, let's move on to the biggest storyline of the year. John Cena and AJ Lee.
Holy God.
It's huge.
Oh.
Are we actually going to talk about this?
Arda, if you want to hang up at any point, just go ahead, my friend.
I think I was just saying I was going to stay silent for this entire conversation, but hey, I'm
not. I picked a bad week to bring you on the show, can you tell? All right. AJ and Cena, interesting dilemma on Monday Night Raw. 2 weeks ago, here these two are making out in the middle of the ring. And 2 weeks later, it looks like John Cena wants to end it before it even started. I mean, can you blame the guy? I mean, that's typically what guys do, but whatever. John Cena and AJ Lee, here's what happened this past Monday on Raw.
I see that you're about to go out for your match. And
yep, gonna.
I wanted to join you. Yeah, I mean, you've just been supporting me so much lately, and I want to support you too. And
no,
and
no,
be out there.
No. That's... You don't need to do that. That's... I got a match against the Big Show. You don't need to do that.
No, I know me and the Big Show and matches don't usually end well, but it'll be fine, okay? I know you don't need my help, but I want to be there.
I think the best idea is I go out there and you stay back here. If anything were to happen to you out there, I would feel responsible. We can't. You've already had a long night. I think the best deal is for you to stay back here. Me go out there. Please?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll be watching back here.
All right, so John Cena telling AJ to stay in the back and not come out for his match against Big Show. Ardo Cal, what do you make of AJ and John Cena?
I personally am not interested in the storyline at all. I understand that there may be people who are. I'm sure a lot of people enjoy the whole, you know, as the world turns, soap opera kind of thing. I thought it was ridiculous that every week there was new evidence coming out. I thought that was the dumbest part of Raw.
So stupid.
I was not a fan whatsoever. I am a fan, though, of AJ paired with John Cena from a building character standpoint, because I thought that AJ did a great job with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan and Kane. So I don't mind her, again, being in a main event scenario. Because I am an advocate for the Divas. I think that there is a lot of potential there that we're just not seeing. And AJ is one of those people. And I think that she is doing a great job given what she has. The storyline, unfortunately, is just not doing it for me. But that doesn't mean that, you know, when she goes back to the Divas division after all of this, that division won't be better off.
Is this relevant in today's wrestling? Is this what wrestling has become? Should we be looking for storylines like this more often, or is this just a one-off sort of thing? I have a feeling that this is something that's going to be more prevalent than the actual wrestling in the ring these days.
If you look at 2012 in a whole, there was quite a bit of romantic storylines. You had Eve and Zack Ryder and the John Cena triangle. You had, of course, what he just mentioned, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, and the AJ triangle. You could throw a whole bunch of other ones out there, too. We've even seen being teased on television now, Del Rio and Rosa Mendez, even. So I think, I don't know if they're trying to appeal to a girlier audience, shall
I
say.
Is that what sells? Is that what sells these
days? I guess it appeals to a certain part of their demographic, maybe, yeah.
I mean, it also, I compare this with the way they start Monday Night Raw now, with the voiceover that recaps what happened in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's no longer a sporting event.
Yeah,
it's a soap opera.
Exactly.
It's a reality show. I mean, Monday Night Raw starts the same way Jersey Shore starts, recapping what happened on previous episodes. You know, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just saying that's the direction they're heading. So, you know, I don't think anyone's really liking this program, but it's being fed to us. And I don't know. I'm just, it's taking too much time on television for me. And my question is where does it go? We had the big makeout session in the ring with AJ and Cena. That was the payoff to me. They just gave that to us. So where does it go from here now? Is it the nasty breakup?
It must be something. Well, let's hope it's something to do with Dolph Ziggler. Otherwise, he's getting dragged down a very crummy storyline.
Oh, and that's what I had mentioned on the last show that we did, is that the benefit out of all of this is that Dolph Ziggler gets the shine. He's going to be looking good. I mean, let's hope he doesn't lose at TLC, but Ziggler is getting exposure out of this, and it's putting him in a program with John Cena, which is never a bad thing. Would you agree?
Yeah.
All right.
I guess, yeah, what do you say there?
No, I mean, I don't know. I just...
Well, as far as AJ and Cena are concerned, I think we're going to see AJ play a heavy role in the finish of the match between Ziggler and Cena this Sunday at the pay-per-view.
Okay.
She might cost him the match inadvertently, perhaps. Maybe Vicky gets involved trying to win, you know, help Ziggler win the match, and then AJ will come out and inadvertently cost Cena the match, and it just... You know, it kind of builds upon the little bit of friction that we started forming on Monday Night Raw.
So, James, you don't think that Cena walks away with the briefcase this Sunday, the Money in the Bank briefcase?
I would be very, very shocked if Cena walks away with the briefcase on Sunday. Very shocked.
Art Elkow, what do you think?
I think he does walk away with the briefcase on Sunday, and it bothers me to think that. Ooh. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. I want Ziggler to walk away with the briefcase. When I heard that announcement, my heart sank. I thought, oh man, this sucks for Dolph Ziggler. Unless there's some storyline that's waiting for him after all of this.
There isn't, though.
In which case, okay, I'll wait for it. Well, there might be. I mean, who knows? We don't know.
I know, Arda. There isn't.
Maybe babyface push coming. Okay, you know. You're with the writers.
Just don't even listen to him.
Hey, in that case, you should come on Aftermath and just spoil all the storylines.
I should.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the problem. If John Cena wins this briefcase, oh my God, it is just like spitting on the face of all the fans. Everyone wants to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. The guy has been held down forever. And this briefcase is like symbolic of what you do with good talent. It's like...
Listen. You want to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. I want to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. Everybody on this phone call wants to see Dolph Ziggler get a push. But I guarantee you, if you polled everybody who watched WWE, they would rather see John Cena as champion. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But there are more people out there that care more about John Cena than they do about Dolph Ziggler today.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth of the matter. That's why you could lean towards John Cena getting the briefcase. To me, what's going to happen is they're going to completely avoid the World Heavyweight Championship contract stipulation, and John Cena will cash in on The Rock at the Rumble. That's what I'm seeing.
Well, it's for the World Heavyweight title, right?
But that's what he's saying. They're going to waive the stipulation.
I'm saying it's just going to be waived in some way, and then The Rock will beat CM Punk somehow, and then Cena will get his comeuppance on The Rock, and then they'll have a triple threat at WrestleMania, whatever the case may be. But that's what I see. Now, I would love to be surprised, and I would love to see Ziggler retain, because that will do wonders for him, beating the face of the company, retaining his briefcase. Or who's to say that he doesn't cash in before the match? You know, who's to say that he doesn't walk into the match as World Heavyweight Champion and either retains or loses the World Heavyweight title? I mean, we don't know, right? But there's a lot of scenarios here, but a lot of them are pointing towards Dolph Ziggler not getting the rub tonight, that night. But that doesn't mean that he won't in the future, and I'm hoping that this leads to... I hope this is kind of like a situation where WWE is saying, okay, Dolph, do this one solid for us, and we're going to reward you in the near future or something like that.
Hasn't he done that enough? I mean, that seems to have been going... That's the ongoing story for years, it seems.
So you don't think it's plausible, Arda, at all, that AJ will somehow become involved in the finish and cost Cena the match and build upon the friction that's already started between them? Because that's what I see more than Cena walking away with this briefcase, really. I don't know.
Yeah, if that's the case, then fine. But there would have to be somebody that she's aligned with, like either Dolph and her are dating all along, or I don't know, something.
I can see that.
Well, not even that. Just inadvertently, she causes Cena to turn his back and.
Oh, by mistake.
And then
that could happen too. Hmm. Yeah.
James, coming up with a good idea.
I just think that come Rumble time, though, I wonder. I don't know, like. I just feel like John Cena will somehow be involved with the Royal Rumble with The Rock. So I wonder if there's going to be any outstanding storylines because of that. But other barring that, yeah, your idea could completely happen. Absolutely.
That damn Rock, he always throws a wrench into the plans. They just announced he's at Elimination Chamber, too. Yeah. Like, he's throwing a wrench into all our story fantasy booking plans, man. I'm telling you. Screw you, Dwayne.
It's true. All right. Well, I it's tough for me to argue with that, Art. I mean, I think you're right. John Cena is kind of the guy that people want to see. Not me, personally.
He's just ridiculously popular. That's
no,
what
I know.
It comes
it
down
makes
to,
a good
right?
point. I hate it when Art O'Kell's right.
Trust me, there's a lot of people who say that on a weekly basis.
I just, you know what? I'm just, Cena won the money, he won the Raw Money in the Bank briefcase. You gave him the stat, you gave him the victory, he had it. Let Ziggler have his moment. I mean, it's already insulting enough how they've treated Dolph with that briefcase, because I feel like he hasn't really benefited from having that briefcase while he's had it. They've just kind of put it on the back burner and let him just, you know, carry it out each and every week. And that's not typically what happens with winners of the briefcase. Money in the Bank winners usually rub off the fact that they won that briefcase. And yes, he looks good when he carries it out to the ring, but that's all it's been with him at this point. So you're going to have him just carry it out for almost a year, or not quite a year, but, you know, 3/4 of a year, and then have him lose it.
Half a year.
Yeah. And then have him lose it to Cena. Where's the good in that? I'm having a hard time finding that. I don't see it. The fact that John Cena looks even better in the end, I mean... Ugh.
Well, it just goes back to what Artis says. You got to please the majority, right?
I guess. I say please the host of Smack Talk Radio Live. All right, let's move on to our last and final topic here. And this one is just going to be very interesting. Uh-oh. I want to talk...
Here we go.
I want to talk about the Great White Shark Sheamus.
Fella.
What do we say about this guy? Well, let's first of all recap what happened between Sheamus and Big Show this past Monday on Raw.
Now, Dolph, you're on top of the world. You're out there running your mouth. You want to try to cash in that Money in the Bank tonight on me after I knock out John Cena? Please, go ahead and try. Because I'll knock you out, too. And at TLC, Sheamus, I haven't made up my mind yet if I'm gonna knock you out, or if I'm just gonna see if I can just knock that pasty white skin right off your bones with a steel chair.
Come on, Show, where's your Christmas spirit, fella, huh?
I don't have a Christmas spirit.
You know, I know what got you going. You're always so grumpy and grouchy, but I know why. I know, it's because last Friday night on SmackDown, isn't it? Because when I grabbed Ricardo Rodriguez and I threw him right into your... Well, let's just say your chestnuts were roasting on an open fire.
Good one, Sheamus.
Chestnuts on an open fire, Corey.
I'm sorry. That quote, that whole clip that I just played there just sums it right up.
What you mean
what
that wasn't promo of the year for 2012 for you?
All right. Just because Art O'Kell's new to the conversation, he doesn't get to hear us week in and week out. I'm very interested to know, what are your thoughts on Sheamus, Art? Do you like what they've done with Sheamus? Are you a big fan? Were you never a fan? Were you a fan at one time and you've slowly changed? Like, where do you stand?
I liked him better as a heel. I thought that he was a pretty decent heel. I thought that I liked the angry Irish hooligan Sheamus, where he was just a bully and he has a different look. He's pretty intimidating. As a babyface, I don't know, I'm not completely sold. It seems like he's getting decent reactions, though, so I guess a lot of people are sold on him. Me, personally, whatever. I will give him props for his matches with the Big Show, though, because I thought that these would be horrible matches, and I just was not looking forward to this at all. But they haven't been bad. So I have to give Sheamus props for his share, which I believe is a very big share in making these matches watchable and entertaining. So I'll give him props for that. In terms of the Sheamus we're seeing today with the whole, you know, the lip shit and whatever, I'm not that big of a fan of that Sheamus. I'd rather him be... I thought that the peak of his heeldom was when he was the King of the Ring. I thought that that was some of the best stuff that he was doing. So that's my opinion of Sheamus.
All right. James, Sheamus, you like him, what you see?
Well, I think he's like John Cena version 2 type thing.
Well, no. Yeah. Call him what you've called him before. You got the perfect name for him.
The SmackDown John Cena?
Pretty much.
No, I can understand what they're doing with him. I have to agree with Arda, though. I think he did better work as a heel. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not completely sold on Sheamus. I'm probably leaning towards the same attitude as yours, but probably not as quite as extreme. But
what do you mean by that?
I'll go ahead and agree with what James just said. I mean, he is very wholesome and very John Cena-esque, but I think it must work if they were doing it with him for some time now. Last time the WWE was in Vancouver, which was probably earlier this year, mm-hmm. he was over with the fans, and the fans loved Sheamus. And I've never really had a problem with his in-ring work. He's a decent worker.
You know
what? I mean, obviously he's a better heel character,
yeah.
but I think he's still got some legs as a face. But cut the corny jokes and stuff. That's brutal.
I still see a lot of fans or hear a lot of fans booing Sheamus. I remember the Monday Night Raw the night after WrestleMania. I mean, granted, he was up against Daniel Bryan.
That's,
the fans were booing him pretty good. And
well,
I know that's a long time
reason.
Ago. I know, of course. But I do still hear the occasional boo for Sheamus. This is the... Look, Sheamus represents everything wrong with wrestling, in my opinion.
Here we go.
I'm sorry. I cannot get behind this guy. Over the top, cheesy, corny, ridiculous, not believable. His accent's terrible. Every match is the same.
It's the way he talks. He talks the same about your accent.
I don't care. No one talks like that in real life. No one. No one talks like that in real life. Not even people from Ireland talk like
you're
that.
You're acting
in real
like an arsehole right now, Corey.
I cannot stand what they're doing with him.
Fella.
No, listen. They're ruining him. He was such an intimidating presence when he was a heel, and he was really good. I remember when he came into the Fed, we were really behind him, and we thought, yes, this guy's, he's got a look, he's got a presence, he's intimidating the ring, and then they just turn it around and make him into the John Cena of SmackDown. Look it, we don't have room for two John Cenas in the WWE. I can't even deal with one. I don't want two. It's ridiculous what he's doing. It's over the top, and it's unbelievable. And the thing that really bothers me about this
but
is
the
that
kids
the, hold on.
Love him. Come on.
Remember that segment
no
he did with the segment he did with Beaker from Sesame Street was
no
absolutely
kid.
Adorable. I ate that right up, Corey.
You know what? As a if I was a father,
like
I wouldn't even
cream.
Let my kid watch Sheamus. You're developing bad habits. You can get beat up in school if you talk like that.
Be a star, Corey.
No,
be a star,
seriously,
man.
Seriously, it's over the top. Oh, it's over the top. The whole thing is crazy to me. And the thing that really bothers me here is that Big Show is putting out some of his best work ever. Big Show is looking good here. He's looking strong. And you can tell he's having a hard time dealing with Sheamus because Sheamus is just not bringing it. Big Show should run over him at TLC. Should absolutely destroy Sheamus because that's, in my opinion, who has been better in this program. Big Show. All right, there we go. I feel a lot better.
Should we not ask Arda what he thinks?
Yeah.
We did. We asked him.
No, but post-rant.
Yeah,
post-rant.
I give my opinion.
Yeah, but post-rant.
Yeah,
post-rant.
I mean, Big Show is Big Show, man. Like, Big Show is not, to me, today, Big Show is just not a draw anymore. Like, I'm not interested in Big Show the way I used to be interested in Big Show. I like that he's got the knockout punch, whatever.
Yeah, but
I
know,
like him when I see him, but I'm just not interested in the guy. Like, it's just,
but hold on a second,
Arda. Like, he's been around for so long.
But hold on a second. Would you not agree, though, that Big Show is at least convincing that he's got legit heat in this program with Sheamus? Like, when Big Show's talking,
or that he's a legit threat,
a legit threat. No, I just feel like he's bringing the heart and passion into what he's saying. Like, it's kind of like, I compare it to like when Triple H is involved in a serious program, I am buying everything that Triple H says. I'm believing that wrestling is like as real as it gets, and it's like
that,
you know,
it's actually like a pseudo sporting event.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get me started on that. But you know, there's a whole, you know, there's legit, he's just bringing this sense of realism, and I find the Big Show's bringing it too. Like, he's bringing this legit sense of, like, it's hard for me to explain. Like, it's like he's really bringing the realism to this program, mm-hmm. and I find that Sheamus is just taking it right away. Do you understand what I mean, Arda?
I can kind of see what you're saying.
I get what you mean. I think that, I think Big Show's always believable just because he's so big. To be honest with you, like, I get it. His promos are better. It's more serious. I think that that's the whole idea, though. Like, the perfect example was that punching thing, the boxing punching bag. That was the perfect example. Like, Sheamus wasn't taking it seriously, and Big Show was saying, "Hey, don't make fun of me. Like, this is ridiculous." And then it just went from there. Like, that's exactly
it. Just
how
facial.
That was a great segment.
But Big Show's facial expression after he did the punch, you know, he stared Sheamus down. He looked legitimately intimidating.
Well, that's the whole thing. They're trying to juxtapose one being ultra serious and one being carefree and silly, right? That's They're trying to show the contrast. Really, you don't?
I agree. That's what they're doing. But what I'm saying is, I don't personally.
Unfortunately,
care about
that's become Sheamus now.
Yeah.
Do you like this idea of what they're doing with Sheamus Arda? Do you like the fact that they are kind of making him the John Cena of SmackDown? I mean, not literally, but.
Well, it's a proven formula. So, I mean, whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. Do I like it? Yeah, I mean, I tolerate it. I think that I want to see improvement of him. Like, to me, me caring about Sheamus comes when the bell rings, and I want to see how he's improved in the ring, and I want to see how he matches up with different people. Personally, I want to see him face a guy like Randy Orton. I want to see a rivalry with a heel Orton with Sheamus, because I think that would be some very intriguing matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty much what I got to say about Sheamus.
Okay, fair enough. I don't think I have anything else to say. Do you guys have anything
Let's
else?
Hope not.
Okay, but who goes over at the pay-per-view?
If Sheamus walks out champion,
yeah, well, we know you'll be pissed. But what do you think should happen?
Big Show should walk out.
I think the Shield is going to interfere, cost Sheamus the match, thereby allowing Sheamus to lose and still look strong. I mean, let's face it, Sheamus has been probably the best booked guy in all of 2012.
Mm-hmm. No, he has been.
I mean, the guy's winning percentage has got to be above 900 for all 2012.
Percentages are based on a scale of 100.
But hey, wins and losses don't matter, man.
No, you're right. He has been booked very strong. I don't think he comes out champion. I think Big Show walks out.
No, I think Big Show too, but I think we're going to see the Shield interfere.
Okay. Arda, what do you think?
Yeah, Big Show. I don't want to see Sheamus as champion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see both of them start new rivalries in 2013.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, I wanted to quickly bring up another topic. Vince McMahon coming back to television sporadically. Let me start with Arda. Arda, your thoughts on Vince McMahon, you know, not just the fact, not, yes, he's returning to television sporadically, but, you know, specifically this week as well. Do you like what Vince is doing on camera?
I think that it's odd that he's, like, kind of putting words into Vicky Guerrero's mouth, like, as if to say that he's pulling the strings and kind of guiding Vicky along. I'm not sure how I feel about that. And I kind of wonder if the whole, and I asked this question on my Facebook page, I said, has the whole idea of Vince McMahon returning to Raw, has it lost its luster simply because of how we have seen him in the last few episodes? And I agree. I think it has. I think that while he's always going to be interesting to many people, I don't think the same oomph is there when Mr. McMahon shows up on Raw. And I guess it's more of, oh, okay, it's kind of cool, as opposed to, oh, this is going to be a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. Personally, when I think of Vince McMahon, I just want to see him announce a new general manager. Like, mm-hmm. I'm kind of sick and tired of Vicky Guerrero and that whole interaction. Like, hey, let's do this, Vicky.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
Great idea.
It's
like,
terrible.
I'm not a fan of that. So I'd like to see that kind of wrap up.
Oh, you guys are so negative.
Oh, jeez.
Here's a question, though. Is what Vince McMahon's doing with Vicky Guerrero, is this not, like, a minor form of bullying?
Yeah, be a star, Vince. Come
really?
On. What's
I mean,
up with
is
that?
That not what regardless, here's...
I wouldn't call it bullying.
It's a little degrading.
It's more like...
It's coercing.
More persuasion than anything. Yeah, it's not like... not like he's, like, forcing her into doing... Like, it's not like a negative situation. It's more comical. I just don't find it funny, personally. But I see the comic... The comic aspect in it.
My bigger statement that I wanted to make about this topic is... See, there's two ways you can go with Vince McMahon. You can have him come out the way he is with the comedy. From the second Vince walked out of the entranceway on Monday, I looked at James and I rolled my eyes and I go, here we go. We're getting funny Vince McMahon. Or you can go the opposite direction and you can have the serious Vince McMahon. The man where when Vince talks, everyone listens, and wrestling, it's got to be important for Vince to be out there. And when, you know, when he is there, there's a reason, right? And we're not getting that with Vince. We're getting the complete opposite. We're getting goofy McMahon.
Well, I think that's why, like Arda just said, Vince is losing his luster now when he appears on Raw, is because we're getting more of this comedic Vince McMahon,
but you could,
as opposed to the serious Mr. McMahon.
But
right?
You could turn this around where it doesn't have to be that way. In my opinion, the WWE is not doing great these days. And I would say Vince McMahon probably would agree just based off numbers alone. Why can you not have a scenario where Vince McMahon, the chairman of the company, has had enough and he's making changes and he's coming out and he's super serious? And when Vince McMahon is in the ring with you, you better watch out because this guy's on a mission to make the WWE top again. You could turn it around. But instead, we get goofy Vince, and it just bothers me. I'm sick of seeing it. It's the luster of Vince has gone because he's not serious anymore.
Shed those tears earlier in the year. Maybe he found his smile again. He's all comedic now.
See, my whole problem with the Vince McMahon coming out onto Raw and doing what he's doing is WWE is just ignoring all continuity from past storylines. Like last year, didn't we have Triple H come out and relieve him of his position?
Oh, well, we can get into all that.
Like, that's... no, I mean, I wouldn't...
the board of directors out of this. I'm not even getting into that right now.
I wouldn't have a problem with Vince McMahon coming back and doing what he's doing now as long as I had an explanation for him getting his position back somehow, you know?
All right.
But the fact that I didn't get any explanation and it's just Vince is coming back out and he's running things like he's Vince McMahon all of a sudden again, that's my issue, I guess.
All right. Well, hopefully we have some of these questions answered this Sunday, December 16th at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, where the WWE presents the TLC pay-per-view. We got to wrap it up this week. We've gone way over time for our Tale of the Tape segment. Arto Cal, just want to thank you very much for coming on.
Much appreciated.
Before we get into how people can get a hold of you, is there anything else you want to talk about before we let you go? We do have a couple minutes to spare if you want to talk about something. Anything you want to get off your chest?
No. I think that Zubaz should make a comeback. I'm surprised we didn't talk about that. Zubaz pants are the greatest things ever. I'm actually wearing a pair right now, the same ones I wore in Aftermath. So if anyone listening to this, please give Zubaz a chance. For the holiday season. I don't even work for Zubaz. You're just comfortable as hell.
Well, you might get an endorsement deal.
Yeah, exactly. I appreciate it, guys. Always happy to be on the show. Follow me on Twitter at @Arto_Cal and watch Aftermath or else. And that's about it. That's all I got to say. All right.
Well, let me ask you this. Will you come on the show again in the future after talking with us here today?
Oh, he might be thinking twice now.
I wouldn't blame you if you said
no. Absolutely, guys. Happy to chat with you guys. It's always a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you very much, sir, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care, guys.
All right. Arto Cal there, James.
Always a great to have on the panel. It's, you know, somebody as knowledgeable as Arto Cal, it's just great to bring him on and just shoot the crap about the week it was in wrestling with him, you know?
Absolutely. Basil, your thoughts on Arto Cal?
I thought he just did TV. That was very insightful. That was actually really good. He gave us some good opinions.
Yeah.
You know what? I think he opened up your mind, Corey.
Well, he shut me up for once.
That's a first, but I think he opened up your mind, and I think maybe you're going to put a little snouses in those trousers and be more positive, mister.
Well, he makes a good point about John Cena. He makes a good point about John Cena and Dolph Ziggler. As much as we'd like to see Ziggler, you know, walk out with the briefcase, it's that might not be what the majority wants.
Cena stupid popular. That's what it boils down to.
But this isn't a case of what the fans want, in my opinion. This is a case of, let's start building new stars. Let's do something new for once. And you got to do that with Ziggler this Sunday. I'll be pretty ticked off if that doesn't happen. In fact, I might cancel the radio show if Cena wins the briefcase.
Well, geez, I might have to actually buy the pay-per-view now.
Can I get the sound? Can I get the soundboard if you're done with it?
No. Okay. I'll throw that in the garbage.
Okay. Maybe some of those cables.
All right. Well, thank you again to Arto Cal. Now, we got a big show coming up this weekend in Vancouver involving a pretty well-known guy, I'd say. Would you agree?
Switching gears a little bit here.
I concur.
Quite possibly the most recognized name in independent wrestling, if you want to go that route. Let's talk about what's happening this weekend in Vancouver. Let's talk the local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
Love that guitar.
Man.
All right, the local wrestling scene. Corey Bassel's got his hat on backwards. He's ready to go, ready to talk wrestling in the Pacific Northwest. And thank you very much to Arto Cal once again for coming on the show. I don't know why anyone would want to come on the show when I'm talking the way I'm talking tonight. But
hopefully calmed you down a bit, that's for sure.
The truth of the matter is, I'm just not a fan of wrestling right now. And you need to hear why. I'm sorry, I can't sugarcoat it. I can't tolerate it either. What I find funny is you two guys and how positive you are about the product.
I'm not saying I'm overly positive, but I'm not nearly as critical as
you
are.
Yeah,
sir.
You're like extreme out there.
I can find things to like about the product. You simply cannot.
This is coming from the guy who looks forward to Monday Night Raw each and every week And where did I find James this week? On the couch sleeping while Monday Night Raw was on.
Hey, my
you
excuse
fell
is...
fell asleep during the show.
I was up at 6 in the morning working hard, 12-hour
you know
day.
Oh.
He gave me a break.
He PVR'd it. He told me he PVR'd it, so we can watch it again.
I'm sorry, but if I'm supposed to be excited about a wrestling
Thank
show, you never fall asleep right in the middle of it.
Hey.
That's my take on wrestling.
And my excuse is it's not 1997 anymore.
Well, it damn well should be. All right, Bass, so let's talk Pacific Northwest, the local scene. Big show this weekend for the ECCW coming to town. Before we get into it, let me just remind everyone, www.eccw.com for tickets and details. Now, what do we have happening this weekend?
Well, before we get into this weekend, we do have quite a substantial star from the indie circuit from around North America here, so we'll get to that in just a second, but we're going to do a quick little recap here, gents.
All right.
ECCW did a couple shows on the island recently here. November 30th, they were in Port Alberni, very successful show from what I heard, and they were also in Duncan on December 1st, my birthday, gentlemen.
Oh.
So thank you very much.
Obligatory happy birthday.
No problem. Thank
Ditto.
You. On the island there, BJ Laredo defeated our show favorite Azeem the Dream for the Vancouver Island Championship, and that was in Duncan. So a big congrats to BJ Laredo and Azeem the Dream. Better luck next time, right, fellas?
Speaking of Vancouver Island, I heard BJ Laredo and the Cremator are opening up a wrestling school there on the island. That should be interesting.
Of course. See? Oh, it's good when you bring things to the table.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when we're at Thanksgiving dinner. I bring the turkey. As long as you bring the mashies, hopefully he brings them some.
I'm just going to sit back and be educated here. I'm not bringing anything.
That's why I don't let him in on the local wrestling side.
Okay.
So that was in Port Alberni.
That was the BJ Laredo result was in Duncan, but they had the Port Alberni show the night before.
I see. Okay.
So we'll move to December 7th. Last Friday, they had their first show in Surrey. Not in the Bridgeview Hall. It was located in a little bit of smaller venue called Sullivan Hall on 152nd and 64th.
Were you there?
I was not.
Okay.
I was not. And that was the Turnbuckle and Toys event. Of course, trying to raise canned goods, food, toys, that kind of stuff for a good cause. Raised over $200 in gate and 50-50, which they handed over, as well as three giant boxes in donations. So big congrats to ECCW there.
Smart move by ECCW to do these fundraisers. It's I love that they do it. It's a great idea. Wrestling for charity. I mean,
it looks very attractive to potential sponsors.
It looks attractive to the wrestling, the term wrestling. Wrestling's got such a negative connotation, but when you're doing these fundraisers for charity, how can you go wrong? It seems like it's a win-win, right?
Absolutely. You know what? If you're gonna slug somebody over the head with a chair, at least give somebody else a can of soup while you're doing it, and that kind of makes it okay,
makes
right?
Makes sense to me.
So we'll move the very next night. They moved back to Vancouver, Russian Community Center for Quest for Gold. Big result in that one. The show itself was obviously a hit, as it always is in Vancouver. But show favorite, I know all of our kind of favorites, maybe not hardcore favorites, but the King of the Yukon defeating Bishop for his very first NWA Canadian Heavyweight title. And from all accounts, many wrestlers tweeting it from the ECCW, the management themselves tweeting it. Very big pat on the back for him. Apparently, he really deserves this one.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Could he be the 2012 Pacific Northwest Wrestler of the Year?
Very, very strong contender.
SRL Radio, anyways, for SR. Never mind.
we'll get there, Corey. We'll get there. So we'll move now to this weekend, which is the big one. Of course, ECCW, especially here in 2012, doing a lot more to bring in other talent from other promotions, especially former WWE alumni. And that's no different here this weekend. Saturday, December 15th, The Art of Wrestling in New Westminster. They welcome Colt Cabana, big from the Ring of Honor, all sorts of good indie wrestling scene, good friend of CM Punk, and just a guy who keeps himself very immersed in wrestling, especially the media side of it. He'll be in action. He'll be teaming with Artemis Spencer, Tony Baroni. They'll be taking on Bishop, Scotty Mack, and Jamie Diaz.
Interesting scenario to bring Colt Cabana into the ECCW because, as we know, the ECCW doesn't really bring in a lot of name talent that you see wrestling elsewhere. I mean, I've had this conversation with people.
They rely on their own roster.
I've had this conversation with the higher-ups with ECCW before. They like to rely on their own talent, and rightfully so, because they have a very in-depth talent pool and guys that can deliver. So it is a bit of an interesting situation this weekend. I mean, we have brought in the Honky Tonk Man in the past recently, but here we have Colt Cabana. Now, let me ask you, is this a smart move by ECCW? Should this draw big?
I think this will draw big for sure, at least with the smart wrestling fans in the Vancouver area anyways.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the issue I have with this is that it is quite a niche demographic. I don't know if that's the right term I should be using, but a niche group that you're looking for. I don't know how many hardcore, really indie focused fans they're going to have. The Honky Tonk Man, whether you follow wrestling or not, you're probably going to know who the Honky Tonk Man is, just because he's been around forever and because his notoriety. While we knew who Colt Cabana is, this almost ties into what Ardo Ocal was saying. Though we know who he is because we follow the product every which way, back and forth, left and right, side to side. We know who he is. They might not, and that might not be the biggest draw, but from a wrestling fan's perspective, I think it's a great guy for the product, and I think he'll definitely do some numbers for them.
I would think that ECCW definitely gained some exposure this weekend off Colt Cabana wrestling in their promotion. I would hope you'd see something on the wrestling websites about Cabana in ECCW. I think that's got to be a little bit of their thinking. You know, you're getting this internet exposure with this guy. This guy has one of the most successful podcasts out on the internet. He's definitely one of the most well-recognized names. He's kind of like today's Daniel Bryan in a little bit of a way, or Bryan Danielson, right? Like, everyone knows Bryan Danielson was a successful indie wrestler back
in the day. I can see the parallels, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same, obviously. But he is today's indie wrestler that is making a living not wrestling for the WWE or TNA. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's hard to do. To do that full time in today's day and age, that's hard to do. And he's doing it quite well.
And outside of just the card itself and the event and the actual promotion of the Colt Cabana being brought in, from a wrestler's perspective and as a wrestler coming up through the ranks, that would be a great contact to have, you would think, in your back pocket if you wanted to get booked in the United States or place around. If you know a guy like Colt Cabana and he can vouch for your good work, if you're a good worker in the ring, that might mean some opportunities for you across the line. So I think that could be a good opportunity for some wrestlers if they could, you know, rub elbows with old Boom Boom Cabana.
Absolutely. Colt Cabana, big name this weekend.
That's this Saturday, December 15th. New West, Sapperton Pensioners Hall, which is getting more mileage out of ECCW, funnily enough. I think they liked that venue.
My favorite venue.
We should mention that we asked Colt Cabana to come on the show this week, and he did politely decline.
I will also mention that I filed a request for Mr. Cabana, and he also politely declined. So,
hey, you're doing interviews outside of Smack Talk Radio Live?
Wait, it's in my contract. We clearly stated that. I can initiate my no trade clause. I could be out of here like that. Just one last note, guys, before we dump out of the local wrestling scene. ASW, All-Star Wrestling, they have a show coming up, kind of piggybacking on what the ECCW did with turnbuckles and toys. They have their body slams for toys. That's coming up Tuesday, a very rare day for a wrestling event. Tuesday. You heard it. December 18th. The White Rock Elks Hall, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from my parents' house. Bring toys. If you bring a toy of $10 or over in value, free show for you. So unwrap toys. If you bring them $10 or over, you get in the show for free. And that is Tuesday, December 18th at White Rock Elks Hall. Body slam for toys, ASW.
And what's ASW's website this week?
I don't think we know.
ASWCanada.com, fellas. And I think they've recently updated it because it looks very fresh.
Oh, perfect.
Not the usual stale product we're used to, fellas. So go and check it out.
There you go. Now, getting back to ECCW for a second, the Art of Wrestling, like you said, happening this weekend, we're actually giving away two tickets to the big show tonight on Smack Talk Radio Live. If you want to go to the ECCW show this weekend and check out Colt Cabana in action, all you got to do, send us an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. And just let us know how much of an idiot I actually am. I'm sure you're disagreeing with everything I said tonight on the show. Just let me know. We're going to be entered for a chance to win.
We're going to fill that inbox for sure.
I can let you know right now. I'll save you the time.
Watch it, Vasa. No, but just let us know what your thoughts were on the week it was in wrestling. And like I said, you could be going to the Art of Wrestling, ECCW's big event this weekend. All right, boys. I think that wraps it up.
Another action-packed episode.
The 2012 SRL Radio Year-End Awards are on their way.
Very
are you
exciting.
Happy?
Very
happy
exciting.
About? Are you? You're part of the panel, Basso. Are you excited to be taking part in that, or not really?
Absolutely. I've got my tuxedo pressed at home. It's ready and willing to go. I've got my Brill Cream ready to slick my shit back. Let's do it.
Perfect. He's in the spirit.
Here's your $20.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that's going to be a big episode, and we got lots of big things to talk about with that. That's coming up December 27th. The iPhone app is in development. What else we got going on, James?
Jeez, you asking me? You're the producer here, my friend.
We're taking over for Ardo Cal on the score.
There you go.
Does he know about that? JBL and Cole and Lala are out, and Basso, McDonald, and Callahan are in. Big things here going on at Smack Talk Radio.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, I know. Weak. Let's get out of here. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and @SRL Radio. I'm Corey Callahan.
I'm Corey Basso.
And I am James McDonald, and we thank you wholeheartedly if you're continuing to listen at this point.
I'll see you next week. The time